You're listening to another sermon by Pastor Michael Zapata from the Potter's House Christian Church.
Thank you very much, musicians and those on the platform. If you brought your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 16. We're going to be reading from verses 5 through to 6 out of the book of Psalms, chapter 16 this morning. A sermon I've entitled, My Happy Place. My Happy Place. Whenever you think of or are referencing to my happy place, many times it is a reference to something or a place that someone is currently not in. Maybe you're in a difficult situation, you're going through a difficult time, and you've been faced with this reality. All of a sudden it's like, think of my happy place, think of my that little place where you can go, where you can escape, where you can just be away from the circumstances, where everything works out perfect, everything falls into place. Now, tragically, the world today tries to transport themselves to these happy places, or metaphorically happy places, that are non-existent. They're not a reality, and because of that, become very overwhelmed. Now, I believe that part of being a Christian and obeying God's word links us to being able to be a resident in that happy place. It's not a metaphor, it's not a false reality. In fact, as a Christian, your portion is that you would be able to reside in a happy place when being with our God and serving Him is our life's long mission. We are now stepping into a dimension where God gets involved in our lives, and our happy place isn't a false reality, but it is where we are able to reside. My prayer is this morning, you would be able to step into that as you obey the Word of God. Let's look, the book of Psalms chapter 16, we're going to be reading verses 5 and 6, book of Psalms chapter 16, My Happy Place. The Bible says these words, O Lord, you are my portion of my inheritance and my cup, you maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places, yes, I have a good inheritance. My happy place. Let's look firstly and focus on my portion. Now, there are so many people today that are unhappy with where their lives had led them to. If we are honest, most people, they are either bitter or resentful. They're unhappy because where they are, they want more. They don't have everything they wish they had. They maybe are looking over the other side and they're noticing that friends or family or people that they look up to are living a better life, and so they're not satisfied with what they have. They could also be unhappy because maybe they've fallen onto some unfortunate circumstances which has made them feel as though someone has actually taken something that is theirs from them. And so because of this, it's a competitive spirit, it is a nature, there's something that is amiss that is causing people to feel unhappy in the life or even envious of those around them. They can also be unhappy because they feel they've been ripped off, as though someone has done a transaction and I have fallen victim, I have been beguiled, and because of this, they don't trust people. Now, this is a reality. Can you say amen? That not only are we not given everything that we desire all the time, but rather we are then challenged to be able to be content with what we have and where we're living. Now, what's interesting about this psalm, David writes, he references to his portion being God. And when we are the only source of our own inheritance, I declare to you, you will be disappointed. If everything relies upon your abilities, your talents, your capabilities, I'm here to let you know that if you are responsible for your own success, you will be disappointed. Because you will let yourself down. You will betray yourself. You will fall victim to being undisciplined in areas of your life. Today, there is a major push. Be your own success. There's a man by the name of David Goggins, and David Goggins is an American retired United States Navy SEAL. And if you log into his channel on YouTube, or if you read any of his books, he wrote a book, You Can't Hurt Me, I think it's called, on Can't Hurt Me. And it's this whole mindset that says, you know what, if you want to be successful, you've got to be the author of that success. David Goggins was actually overweight when he was younger, and so he disciplined himself. And he has this incredible mindset where it's like, you know, you can listen to him and he'll be like, get up, you're lazy, and you know, move, and stop eating that, and stop doing that. And he's yelling at you over through the screen. And it's this major push to like being the author of your own success. Now, you know, that may sound and maybe looking appealing as like, wow, look at him, he's so courageous, so bold and so strong, and he's doing all these things. How many know that's very difficult to maintain? You get to 40, 50, 60, 70, and it's like, I'm struggling to get out of bed. I'm struggling to just smile. Struggling to even just stay motivated to function in life. And so just try to, you know, no doubt there are noble accolades that this man has reached. It is very difficult to live with someone like that. Can you say amen? Even to maintain that sort of mindset. The story of the next prominent king, King Solomon, is one that highlights an incredible lesson that we all need to learn. The Bible says that Solomon is the son of David, and David was the best king that Israel had. I mean, it wasn't much to reference from. The first king, King Saul, was egotistic, was all about himself, and so he lost the hearts of God's people because he was so self-centered. He was only about his own self. David steps into the picture and now begins to be used by God. He puts the people of God first. He helps them in so many demonstrable ways. And the Bible says that now the son of David, King Solomon, is going to be given this incredible task of leading God's people. Now, ultimately, Solomon is left overwhelmed. He feels as though he is not equipped, and so he encounters God in a moment, cries out, and God says, I will give you anything that you ask. And you know the story. Solomon, in just a moment of wisdom, requests something that changes his destiny forever. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10 through to 12, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. In other words, he's asking God, help me not to look stupid in front of everyone. He says, who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. God says, I see your request, I can see your heart, and because of that, I'm going to bless you, not only give you wisdom and knowledge, which is what he asked for, but then he says, I'm going to provide for you things that you cannot do by yourself. Now, this is an incredible lesson. That Solomon placed God at the center of his success. He said, if I'm going to be able to do and accomplish this task, it's only going to be because of your influence in my life. It's going not to be by myself. It's not going to be because I am so great or I'm so wise or I'm so powerful. It is a recognition of my lack, which then has now caused me to ask for your supplies. I don't have, God, I need you to move on my behalf. Now, let me just ask you this morning, is where you're at today exactly what you imagined? What is your portion? Are you in your happy place? Are you happy with where you are? Are you content with what you have? Now, I declare to you that if your portion is not God, then you will always be disappointed. You always be left in a place where it's like, I am lacking. I don't have enough. I need you. I need something to change. Now, what's interesting about the story of Solomon is, aren't you glad God doesn't go up to Solomon and say, okay, come on, mate. You want to be successful? Be the author of your own success. You want to lead my people? Figure it out. Make it happen. God doesn't do that. He acknowledges there are things you don't have. And thus, I need to help you to acquire. This all comes about because Solomon said, God, you're my portion. The psalmist writes and he says, God, you are everything to me. You have provided, you have taken care, you are my inheritance. You are everything good that is happening in my life. And that is why David finds satisfaction in himself, in his own life. Let's look secondly this morning at you maintaining my lot. Because now it's one thing to become successful. It's another thing to maintain your success. Can you say amen? That a lot of people today can step into a new trend. It's like you buy something or you become famous because of something that you do. You go viral for just a moment. But it's not long now today that you can, you know, do something successful one day and be yesterday's news the next day. Just recently, I read an article of a 23-year-old self-described crypto king who owned or was at least given $35 million by investors, but only has $2 million of their assets left. This young man at the age of 20 hit it rich when he entered into the crypto market. He then began to boast about his winnings. He began to just, you know, be flamboyant as a result of everything that he had. And so people began to give him their money and say, look, if you know what you're doing, buy us in. We want a cut of that. And so they gave him $35 million. This young 23-year-old now, he began to, just lived a lavish lifestyle. Best shoes, best hat, everything was expensive. Jets, planes, going everywhere, having the time of his life, living all off their money. Didn't invest as a result, has been investigated. His whole life was ahead of him. His whole life was ahead of him. Now, faced with all kinds of frauds and money laundering issues because of just a failure to understand. It's not just about being successful today. It's whether you can maintain that for the rest of your life. There are some people, it's like one Powerball, one lottery ticket, one moment of that. I just got to make the right move. But listen, what you fail to understand is today matters. How you're living this morning, what choices you're making this day matters what happens to you in the future. And if you don't bring those things together and marry them up, you'll fail to understand. You'll only live for the moment. You'll never set yourself up for the future. David writes, You are my portion, my inheritance, my cup. But then he goes to say, you maintain my lot. And if you listen to the language that David uses, he is stating a claim. He is making a declaration. He's saying, not only am I tied into your inheritance, your riches, the wealth, the unlimited wealth that you have, your protect. There's also something that comes with that. God says, David says, you maintain my lot. You are the protector of the things that you give me. You keep them safe. It's not just, well, I'm successful today, God looks after you and then leaves you. No. He is taking care of us. He is now signed into an agreement, in a relationship, saying, I have got your back. I'm going to maintain your lot. I'm going to protect you. You know, the phrase, stake your claim, originally came out from the American Gold Rush. And if you know much about history, you have this gold rush that happened that swept America, and people began to travel far and wide to all kinds of areas that promised so much gold. And so what would happen is if you went to a location where you wanted to start digging for gold this is your lot of land, you would have to physically get a stake and plow it into the ground and stake your claim. Now, this would then go to a registry. You would have to then register that and make sure that it was all above board. But they would place these stakes to then bring the perimeter of their property and say, this is where I'm going to be digging. This is my property. Sometimes you would have to stand there and look after it and make sure that you fought for it. If somebody else came and said, no, you're in my lot, you're in my land, there would be fights, there would be all kinds of things that would happen. But the whole thing stood on, there's a stake in the ground, it is registered, it is known by others, this is not yours, it's mine. And think about what David is saying. He says, you maintain my lot. It's not a question. It's not a maybe, God, please protect me. He says, no, you do protect me. You maintain things. You keep me safe. See, when you put God as the source of your inheritance, God becomes the protector of that inheritance as well. Is that he now takes care of the things that he has provided for you. And Abraham was put to the test. He was instructed by God to just leave everything he knew. His family, his inheritance, everything that he was tied into in that land of the Earl of Chaldeans. Here is God saying, I want you to leave it all and follow to where I'm going to be. He had to follow God's direction. He had to trust that God knew better and more than him. That where he was going to go was better than where he was. And in Genesis 12:3, the Bible says, God speaks to him a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families shall be blessed. God says, I'm going to take care of you, but I'm also going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to show you things you can't see. But I'm also going to protect my inheritance that is in your life. I'm going to protect the blessing that I will provide for you. I will take you to places that you can't take yourself. And while you're there, I'll maintain it. I'll keep it safe. See, this is something that is carried on and reiterated in the Gospels. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Most people fail to understand there is a clause there. And his righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It's not what you think is right. It's God's kingdom and his righteousness And God says, I will give you all the things that you've ever desired. Because it's tied in to who is the source. Where does everything come from? Who provides it all? When you recognize it's from God, you now tie into a protection that only God can provide. God takes care of his people. Now, one of the things we all need a revelation about is God. Number one is you need a revelation that you can't or won't outgive God. God is rich. God owns everything. Can you say amen? He takes care of us. He can provide things. He could speak it and it happens. Right? We have testimonies of people who gave, and as a result, God moved supernaturally in their finances. They got a promotion, they got an inheritance, God moved, and they were blessed as a result. That's a revelation. You can't outgive God. The more that you give to him in your finances, in your time, in your efforts, with your labors, God doesn't go, wow. You're really good. You're better than me. No. God outdoes it because you cannot outgive God. The more that you trust him with the valuable things in your life, the more that he begins to move supernaturally on your behalf. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. The Bible says that the fullness of what the world provides, God is involved in that. So you won't outgive God. Another revelation you need about God is that you won't outsmart God. You know, before we got saved, some of us came and, you know, you couldn't even clap in time or, you know, say a sentence properly. A few brain cells were fried from the previous lifestyle that you indulged in. Now all of a sudden it's like God helps you, gives you some brain cells back, gets you a job, moves supernaturally. Maybe you even lined up a young Sheila, you get married and you married up. You know it, you married up. And you kind of start thinking, oh, I'm pretty smart. Truth is that you'll never outsmart God. Is that yes, there are things that God helps you and we need that help. Can you say amen? Solomon cried out, I need your wisdom. And God says, I will give you wisdom. But even that wisdom and knowledge that God gives you, it still doesn't compare to the knowledge and wisdom God has. There are still things that are beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. Here, God says, listen, you know stuff, but I know more. You're one step ahead, two steps ahead, but I know the end from the beginning. And while, yes, I am moving supernaturally in your life, you have to understand, despite you not knowing or understanding what's happening, God is always in control. God always knows and has a way and a plan. Nothing catches God off guard. He's like, oh, would you believe that? Who would have thought? God is always the smartest one in the room. Can you say amen? The third thing is that you can't outwork God. You know, God is a very hard worker. God is always trying to provide for his people to make sure that they're taken care of. One of the things that, or attributes that is highlighted in Psalms is 121 verse 3 to 4. The Bible says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never neither slumber nor sleep. The Bible says that God doesn't have a nap. He doesn't need a nananap like us, right? Just kind of like, you know what? I just need to just rest my eyes and just switch the brain off. God doesn't go into a state of unconsciousness to recharge his batteries. He's not on holidays. We're not going, oh, I can't wait to go to Cairns so I can just lay by the beach. No. It's like, God is always at work. He doesn't have a lazy day. He doesn't just kind of go, you know what, today, I don't feel like doing anything. I'm just going to walk around. God is always at work. And even in that work, he doesn't get exhausted. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't become overwhelmed, right? Have you ever been moving and you pick up something and you realize it's too heavy for you to carry? And you're like, quick, somebody give me a hand. That never catches God off guard. He's always at work. One of the reality is that the more that we are working with God, the more that God gets involved in our lives and works on our behalf. Let's look thirdly and in closing at the good inheritance. I mentioned that at the beginning, it's like we're looking for a happy place. Somewhere where we can actually reside, a place where we can go. And if we think about what our inheritance from God would look like, you would probably begin to just immediately think of everything that makes you happy. Most of the times you don't think about the things that you need, it's more the things that you want. And Christianity is all about not what you are today, it's about what God can do in your life, what you will become. And sometimes it's hard to see. But one of the things that you are guaranteed is that God would move in a physical, psychological, and a supernatural dimension. That there are so many things that God completes us in. He makes us whole. There are things that were missing, that weren't there, that because of that, because of God's involvement, now we step into his inheritance and we are a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, the Bible begins to say he'll protect you. He'll take care of your physical needs. But then it also says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, there's not only just a physical aspect, but there's a psychological, there's a mindset that God says, I'm going to take care of the insecurities, of the anxieties, of the stresses, of the things that keep you up at night. That's my inheritance. That's what I can do. And he makes it all possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If we don't believe in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we limit God's supernatural dimension at work in our lives. It becomes a happy place that you can not just visit, but you reside in. Now, it's no wonder why Christians live such great lives. Can you say amen? It shouldn't be a surprise to us. It's like, wow, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm content. I'm excited with what God is doing in my life. Not what God may do, what God's already doing. That's what God is invested in. Now, I want to clear something up. Because just recently you may have heard that Sanjay and Raquel had a baby. And they had a little miracle. Her name is Mira. And Mira, I'm pronouncing it wrong. But she's a little miracle. They weren't able to have children after CJ. And God began to, they began to cry out, God, we need you to move supernaturally. And God did a miracle and they were able to conceive and have this child. They had this child on Saturday. I know that because I was woken up in the middle of the night saying, Pastor, we're on the way to the hospital. We're about to drop off CJ. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Okay. So they rock up at our house. They go to the hospital. They have a successful delivery. And Sunday morning, so we'd make preparations. Okay, Sanjay and Raquel, they're in hospital. Let's make sure everything's taken care of. They have ministries. They have things that they need to be doing. Let's make sure everything's okay, taken care of. I get the phone call from Sanjay saying, is it okay if I come to church on Sunday? I'm like, you don't have to, that's fine. Aaron's going to do the song service. We've got your ministries taken care of. He goes, no, you know what, I think it'll be okay. Raquel's fine in the hospital. Everything's fine. I think I want to be in church serving God. with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to put a gun to your head, but come. So we come Sunday morning, come Sunday night. And then add to that, on Tuesday night, prayer night, Raquel has left the hospital and she just rocks up with the baby. We're all praying in church on Tuesday night, and she's in there and she's praying and the baby's there. And I'm like, okay, yep, you've just been split in half and a baby's been taken out, but okay. Wednesday night, she's in church. Sunday morning, she's in church. They were disappointed that outreach was cancelled yesterday. That was a joke. So Wednesday night, my wife and I were discussing this. So we're like, look, if they rock up, because they were at prayer night, if they rock up, we need to have a chat. We just need to make sure that my communication to Sanjay didn't just fall by the wayside. And so we just got to make sure that they both know. And so Holly took it upon herself. She pulled Raquel aside on Wednesday night after she saw her. And she's like, look, we just want to let you know. Rest, relax. Like you don't have to come to church. You just take some time and just heal and don't overdo it. And you know, and Raquel spoke to her and says, why? She's like, you don't understand. This is my happy place. This is my safe house. This is where I come to see my family. This is where I come to worship God. And she goes, I want to be here. Where else would I want to be? And so naturally, it was probably the end don't speaking. So we were kind of like, are you sure? She's like, this is my happy place. Now, what many of you may not know is that about 3 years ago, when Sanjay and Raquel first came to church, Raquel suffered from incredible anxiety, social anxiety. She struggled to come to church. There would be times where she would be at home for 3 days, unable to move, just stuck at home, just consumed with her mind. God has done a miracle in her life through the years as they have served and obeyed the will of God and done what God has asked them. Now they've stepped into another dimension of having a child and growing their family, and we're believing for more there as well. And think about it. Now she's like, the doors are open for church. I get an opportunity to praise God. That's my happy place. That's where I want to be. That's where you'll find me. Now this is God's handiwork. I declare to you, this is how God operates. Now I've only said, please, if you have a child, don't expect. That's not the standard. You relax. Stay home. I'm just saying. I was amazed at that revelation. But Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, God is at work doing something in your life, preparing you for what is to come. And the more that we line up our lives with what God has, the more that God says, you're going to see my supernatural hand at work in your life. Can I declare to you that this is our inheritance? Our happy place doesn't have to be a false reality or a place that we just kind of try to escape to and leave our responsibilities. Our happy place is wherever God's word is being preached. Our happy place needs to be where God's ways are being elevated. Our happy place needs to be where God resides and God is being glorified. Can you say amen? The challenge for us this morning is to find the happy place in Jesus Christ, is to understand God's in control. God's going to move on my behalf. He'll take care of me. He'll move in ways that I cannot. He will protect. He will provide. That's all I have this morning. Why don't we quickly bow our heads? Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. For more details about our church, service times, and how to donate, please head to our website www.pottershousegoldcoast.com.au. God bless.